another thrilling edition of Spotlight Connecticut for you. And we're going to have a really good conversation this hour with Olga Litvinenko. She is the founder of USA for Ukraine. She actually does a lot of things, from what I understand. And in the last few weeks, I've gotten to know her a little bit more. And she has a really interesting background just beyond being Ukrainian and founding a charity to help deliver aid over to Ukraine as they deal with the war that Russia has been raging on them for almost 4 years now. But we're going to be focusing our conversation on her background as this nonprofit founder. Olga, I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on the show with me.
Thank you so much, Morgan. Thank you for having me. I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving as well. I very luckily and feel blessed that I got to spend it with my family. So it's a pleasure to be here and speaking with you and having Connecticut listen.
I echo those sentiments. It was a good day and blessed to be with my family as well. You know, Olga, I think that the first thing that people ought to know about you, and I've kind of mentioned it in our little introduction here, you are Ukrainian. As a matter of fact, you were born and raised, at least for the first few years of your life, in Ukraine. So just kind of walk me through your background a little bit.
Of course. And that's accurate. I was born in Kyiv, Ukraine. And when I was a baby, my family had the opportunity to move to America. It was an interesting story. My father obtained an H-1B-1 visa. So he was able to come here for work, and my mom actually won the green card lottery. So it was almost as if all the cards were pointing us to come to America. I did all of my education in America, so I grew up here, and mainly in Connecticut. So it's been a wonderful opportunity to be able to blend both cultures, my upbringing in America and having the background of being Ukrainian. Throughout my years, I had the opportunity to go back and forth between Ukraine as well. And I have gone back during the war too, specifically for the charity. And it's such a special place. Ukraine really is. We have family there, but aside from having family to show me just the wonders of all the culture there, it's got just beautiful, beautiful geographical places and scenery, and the people are so kind and hardworking, and there's a wide span of types of food that you can experience, and just it's a lovely place to be. So really what's happening now and the culture, how it's being, or at least Russia's trying to dissolve it, is really sad to see. I miss going back, and I miss being able to be there without air raids happening, without sirens going off. And I hope that there will be a day that I can one day invite my friends and family back to Ukraine to have a nice dinner, or to be able to just walk down the streets calmly.
You've kind of touched on it a little bit, but I want you to dig into it some more, Olga. For somebody like me, or I would imagine many people in our audience this afternoon, have not been over to Ukraine before, have not visited. Maybe they did not live there as you did at one point in your life. So if you could tell people what they need to know about Ukraine, maybe a little taste of history or what life is like over there. Just give me a taste of the culture in Ukraine. I know that's a loaded question, but take a shot at it.
It's not that loaded, because I'm thinking about my day-to-day activities when I was there. And I'm going to go into detail pre-war. One, the food is just incredible. Everything there is so fresh, and the people and the quality of the food and the quality of the people and how they come together around creating really delicious meals is just so amazing. So you wake up and you can get these farm fresh eggs, or you can go to the local market, which in Ukraine, they're all over the place. People actually making their own cottage cheese, or fresh cow milk is being sold on the side streets, or you can get freshly picked berries. And we'll start with that, just, you know, the food and that culture and the way that people surround themselves and get together around food. I'm also going to span into more so hospitality and entertainment. There's such a widespread amount of artists that are there and creatives, people who are musically talented, and there's a huge history of very, very experienced writers and experienced poets and experienced musicians. In Ukraine, it is a custom to be able to go out and have a nice night and see someone perform a beautiful, you can watch an orchestra or a play, and that existed and that still exists even in the war. People are still working and performing. Outside of the entertainment, you have just also the history of the churches and how you have these old monasteries in Ukraine, in Kyiv specifically. And it's really cool. You get to see how these monasteries and there's also different synagogues that exist in Ukraine and different types of religions that have come together all within this one country. And you can see these older buildings and just the beautiful architecture that exists there. And I've been in the monasteries. It's really interesting. If you go inside, you kind of feel like you're going down into somewhat of a maze, and it's quite short. I'm a tall person. I'm 5'10". So for me, you kind of have to lean over. And I just remember also my brothers and my dad having to lean over as well. But you get to experience that and see how life was 100, 200, 300 years ago. There's just so much to experience. There really is. And the number one thing that I always think about when I talk about the culture and the experience really is the people. The people there, they're so vibrant. They're so excited to learn about what's available in the world and how they can better the world. It's just a really booming place where people want to excel and people want to help one another and just create something magnificent. And that can be from food, that can be from relationships, that can be from entertainment. And it all comes from the heart.
One of the earliest memories I have of being introduced to Ukrainian culture, just a little aside here for you, Olga, the beautiful Easter eggs made in Ukraine. And there might be a specific term for it. I don't quite remember, but they're gorgeous.
Easter eggs are definitely, Easter is a big holiday in Ukraine, and that's because of the Orthodox religion. So now it's transitioned a little bit. So in the past, the Eastern Orthodox religion followed the Gregorian calendar. So you would have Easter celebrated sometimes on a different day than the regular Catholic or Catholic Easter celebration. But Easter eggs and designs on different dolls, it's a very intricate design that uses a wax-resistant method. And each of the colors and the symbols, they hold very symbolic meaning. So yeah, the Easter eggs are definitely something that's really beautiful.
Very unique indeed. Olga, you talked about Ukraine pre-war. And I'm curious, because you've been there now since the war has started with Russia, again, going into what will be the fourth year in February. What is it like now? What have you seen yourself when you've gone over there?
I have had the opportunity to travel to multiple parts of Ukraine after the physical war started. So, and we say the physical war, that's February 24, 2022, but technically Ukraine and most people see that the war started in 2014, so long before. So after the physical war started, I have been back over 30 times, and I unfortunately have seen too much devastation. And I've seen too many schools ruined, too many buildings that have been bombed, too many people who are relocated out of their homes, and too much of trying to diminish the Ukrainian people and culture. And I have experienced bombs and drones. I was there in multiple places. I mean, I was in Kharkiv once when missiles were going off at night. We were on a mission and we stopped in Kharkiv. We were delivering aid to a nearby hospital, and we were delivering food supplies as well, and water filtration units. And in Kyiv, I was there when the first drones really touched closely. It's hard. It's really hard to experience. And for a little while, I remember coming back to America, and it was as if any all sirens I had heard, whether it was something from a fire truck to even just an announcement, I almost thought that there was going to be some sort of rocket or something being shot. It's quite devastating. But what I will say is fascinating is that even amongst all of this devastation and all of the damage that has been done, the Ukrainian people end up standing up and continuing to live, trying to live. And it's this resilient behavior that is so amazing to experience. And it really touched me. I think it would touch anybody to see that and to witness these people who are losing almost everything, sometimes almost everything, and yet they can still put a smile on their face and still be warm to their neighbor.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's WTIC News Talk 1080. And we are with Olga Litvinenko for the hour. She is the founder of USA for Ukraine, which is her organization to help deliver aid over to Ukraine. She is Ukrainian, if you're just joining us. She talked about that a little earlier in the hour. You know what really impresses me, as she indicated, the resiliency of the Ukrainians. And even though she's here in the U.S., she's been over there during the physical war that Russia has been inflicting on Ukraine. Some 30 times, I believe you said. 30 times, is that right, Olga?
It is over 30, yeah, but that's 30 is a definite, that's for sure. It's been an interesting experience heading over now versus what it used to be, Morgan. I mean, I used to have a direct flight from New York City that would touch down in Kyiv, and now the time that it takes to get to Kyiv is about, from leaving my doorstep and arriving in Kyiv, is probably around 30 hours. Sometimes it could be more, depending on delays.
Well, how do you actually get into the country? Are you able to tell us that?
Of course. There's various ways that you can get in. You could fly into a nearby country, which is what I normally do. So I'm going to actually walk you through a little bit of what I have experienced and how I get in.
Yes, please.
So I've flown into Poland, and then from Poland, I either have to get driven to the border and cross the border by foot. That's normally the fastest way to do it. But if I'm with a big luggage, that's a little bit more difficult to do. So if I have luggage or it's a nighttime arrival, then I'll tend to go onto the train. And there's a train that goes from Premysh, Poland, directly into Kyiv, Ukraine. And from there, you get a taxi or you get picked up. I've driven across the border as well and driven all the way to Kyiv and back. Interestingly enough, we had an adoption in America for one of our rescue animals, which is part of one of the projects that USA for Ukraine participates in. And I actually had to drive with the dog. Her name is Sandy. She's adopted by a very lovely woman in Baltimore, Maryland. I drove Sandy all the way from Kyiv to Poland for her to be able to make the flight. So that was an interesting experience as well. So those are the ways that you can get in now. There are buses as well, but those are the ones that I've experienced.
Are there many people doing this, or when you've done it, have you been alone?
There's a lot of people doing it. Yeah, there's people who are, sometimes the trains are completely packed, and around the holidays, people are still trying to visit, you know, family, friends, or go somewhere that gives them a little bit of peace. It's a little bit more difficult for the men to leave the countries because of military needs. But you'll see a lot of women and children traveling, and you'll see other humanitarian efforts and groups that are also traveling. So they're still being utilized. Of course, if there is a attack happening in one area, you'll see inner relocation within Ukraine, and people use public transportation to be able to get from one place to another. A little bit, you see sometimes people also exiting Ukraine temporarily and returning if there's something that is happening in their town and they have the ability to get out.
Despite the resiliency, Olga, and I want to point out that the only way that I know you is through a mutual friend, and even still, I don't know you very well. Despite the resiliency and my not knowing you whatsoever, it would seem to me that you're very brave to go over there over 30 times, as you've indicated, as part of your aid mission when other people would be running for the hills and they wouldn't be going anywhere near there. But are you afraid when you cross into Ukraine? Are you afraid?
That's a great question. I am concerned about an attack. I'm always concerned about an attack, and the sirens and the rays are something that give you notice, right, that's happening. I don't know if afraid is the word, because if I was afraid, I wouldn't be going in or trying to overcome a fear by putting myself into a dangerous situation. I think it comes naturally because of my Ukrainian background and wanting to help. I also have a philanthropic background. I was raised by parents who used to foster children from Ukraine. And in my early years in high school, I volunteered a lot. I worked with various organizations from Habitat to Humanity to the Greenwich United Way to the Alzheimer's Association to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. So I feel I've always wanted to give back as part of my life. And when I noticed that this was happening and it was so close to home and relatives and friends were reaching out from within Ukraine, I just felt like I had to be there and I had to be helping. And it was godsend for me to dedicate time and effort for that.
Olga, real quick before we get into another break, how can people find you online? We're going to talk more about your charity, how you founded it after the news, but just tell people how they can find you online real quick.
Sure. You can go to www.usaforukr.com. That's usaforukr.com.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and our guest on Spotlight Connecticut is Olga Litvinenko. She is the founder of USA for Ukraine. We've been talking about her background as a Ukrainian, the over 30 trips that she has made over to Ukraine since the physical war with Russia has begun. That was 4 years ago, nearly. And we're here to talk about how her organization, as number one, brought her over to Ukraine, but also number two, how you can take part in helping to deliver aid. Over $1 million raised, I'm seeing on your website, Olga. That's impressive.
Thank you so much. It's over $1 million worth of aid, yes. And that comes from, we've partnered with various organizations, and that varies from medical supplies, food supplies, water filtration units, actual physical monetary donations. We've worked with refugees, we've worked with animals, cultural preservation, and children, and different MREs as well. So it's been an interesting time. I never really thought that I would ever find myself sitting down trying to figure out logistics of how to transport tons and tons of supplies from America to Ukraine. I never really thought that I would be working with five incredible animal shelters throughout Ukraine and helping provide food and kennels and to the animals there and making sure that they're doing all right and taking over the cost of any sort of medical needs there. I never really thought I'd be distributing food and visiting soldiers and local hospitals and creating a sister city between the town of Greenwich and Izum as well. All of this just kind of started happening because of a need, a huge need in Ukraine for the people and helping them. So it's been a very interesting ride.
Olga, are you saying that when you hop on a plane, you head over to Poland, as you explained earlier, how you get into Ukraine? Are you carrying all of these goods, or do you get them in Europe? Do you get them shipped over? What are the logistics?
Oh, that's a really great question. Well, it really depends on the amount of aid that is being brought over, but for the most part, it's being shipped over. And we've done sea transportation. That's the most cost-effective way to do it. It takes longer to do it that way. It could range from 4 to 6 weeks at an early arrival time. It could be a little bit longer. And we've worked with, it's actually an Eastern European company based out of, they have a warehouse in New Jersey called Neist, and we worked with them to ship a bunch of goods. It's difficult to bring it with, you know, with yourself through, right, like holding it in your hands, because that's, you can only carry so much. But when we bought the trash trucks that we delivered to Izum, those were transported from Germany. So those were, you know, physically brought over and driven over and then taken across the border. So it depends on what the aid is.
When you go over there, tell me about the logistics. Once you've gotten into Ukraine, you have the aid, you have the materials with you. Then what? You know, how do you know to whom you're bringing it and who receives it? Or do you just show up and it's a free-for-all? I'd imagine it's not like that at all.
It's not like that at all, because a lot of the aid is already organized in advance, and the delivery is organized in advance. So our largest delivery, one of the last deliveries that we had, when we had a bunch of medical supplies that were donated, we partnered with several organizations that helped us basically work with the local governments, work with the local local hospitals, local communities, and we've worked with different mayors and government officials, and we talked with the city of Izum because we have a really good relationship to see if any nearby other cities or towns needed any sort of aid. And you kind of come up with a list of where you need to deliver and who needs what most. And we built these wonderful relationships, and through those relationships, we would distribute. That it worked that way with the animals as well, because when we were starting, we worked with one very big animal shelter just outside of Kiev, and people started reaching out to us actually on Instagram and various social platforms on Facebook, and finding out our emails and going to our website, and actual animal shelters would reach out and say, hey, we need help. Do you have the ability to donate this amount to cover for food? And our response would be either we have it or we don't, or we can get the food donated and figure out how to ship it to the shelter or deliver it to the shelter. So there's so many different points of communication and relationships that you just grow this incredible network of people who are looking for help and people who know where the help is needed and actually having it delivered to those who are needed.
Our audience at WTIC, historically speaking, has had quite a lineage of supporting efforts like this, missions like yours. You go back to when we were on the air in World War II up until 1956, I believe, was the year, and we had the Mile O' Dimes, and we raised over $1 million at that point in time, those dollars in those years. For polio research in more recent years, over 30 years, we've been part of the Holiday Store with the Salvation Army that's raised over $5 million in today's dollars. So my point, Olga, is that our audience has a long-running history tradition, if you will, of being charitable. Now, I can't say that we're going to raise $5 million for you in 1 hour on the radio, but my curiosity is this. If there's one thing that you're trying to communicate to our audience now, something that USA for Ukraine, your registered 501c3 organization, needs for your mission, what would it be?
We're really focused on the women and children at this moment. There are so many women and children who are affected, and it's as a result of the long term effects of the war. Their husbands or brothers are going off and fighting this really nasty war and fighting the Russians. Some of them are not coming back home. Some of them are coming back home and they're having difficulties adjusting back. And the women and children are really the ones who are left with a huge responsibility of managing families, of raising children. And the children are deserving to have somewhat of a peaceful environment around them and the ability to go to school safely and the ability to be a kid and be happy. So the women and children really need a lot of support. And you actually see a lot of women now taking on roles that they wouldn't have in the past because the men are out and fighting this really, really crazy war that never should have started. So I encourage all of the listeners to please donate. Go to our projects, USA4UKR.com, and click on Women and Children. Please make a donation specific for the women and children. We have everything from doing holiday gifting and giving them just something to enjoy around the holiday season. We have a partner in Ukraine who puts on camps in the Carpathian Mountains, and that is a more safe area. It's further away from where all the missile attacks are happening, and it is a wonderful chance for the children to still be within Ukraine, and it's accessible and not too far from home, but away from all of the sound and raids and bombings and everything, and have a little bit of time for peace. So I would really encourage for everybody to help the women and children.
I want our listeners to just realize that you made this very official. This isn't just some bedroom effort that you have. This is a full-blown registered charity and organization. Tell me a little bit about how you actually founded this and walked through the hoopla that is, you know, all the paperwork, the state and the federal government and all of the things that you have to go through to become official. How did you make this official, Olga?
Well, it started because it was just innate to help out. And Morgan, I'm not sure if the listeners know or not, but I do have a background of being a public persona. I was Miss Connecticut Teen when I was 17, and then I was Miss Connecticut when I was 27. And I also was a Miss Ukraine Universe finalist representing the city of Kyiv when I was 28. So when the war happened, I think naturally a lot of people turned to me knowing that I had a Ukrainian background, asking how they could help. And so I actually created a Google Doc and then transferred it to a PDF that I would send to people with listed organizations that were more so trusted and where you would know that your money was going in the right hands. And I started a GoFundMe because so many people wanted to donate money and they didn't know where to put it, and whether or not they had the PDF, they just wanted to take my advice. So I started a GoFundMe, and I came together with a few local friends. So I have a co-founder, Dr. Ina Lazar. She's an optometrist from, she has an office in Greenwich and Darien. And we came together and we started raising money on the GoFundMe page. And that money was actually being used towards a refugee crisis. So I flew to Premysh, Poland, and started just on the ground helping wherever I could. And as a volunteer, you can come, you just say that you're a volunteer and they needed help, everything from directing people to the appropriate channels, to putting them on the right bus, to bringing aid. And we partnered with another organization based out of Paris, France, and worked with bringing over, it was about 200 refugees to France, transporting them, helping the families get into the appropriate homes, and enlisting and enrolling children in schools, and really just focusing on that effort. And after getting involved with that, more people wanted to donate. So we had someone who wanted to be tax compliant and make a serious donation, and we weren't a 503, so we searched for a fiscal sponsor, and we got fiscal sponsorship from the Global Empowerment Mission. And the Global Empowerment Mission is just really an incredible organization. They do so much work all over the world, and we worked with them on the ground. And it was some time that we waited to obtain our 501c3. We filed for it, and we got it, and parted ways and really independently took off and just focused on our smaller projects, women and children being one of them. We've done cultural preservation as well as sustainability. We focus on the animals, and then we have a sister city with a Zoom. So it was a bit of a ride, but we still worked even when we didn't have 501c3, and that's through the fiscal sponsorship and those projects that we worked with. The Global Empowerment Mission were totally different. They really focused on rebuild at that time and bringing a lot more of food delivery. So it was a really great experience and also a learning opportunity to be able to further just our organization as well.
The wrapping up Spotlight Connecticut with Olga Litvinenko. She's been a great guest talking about her organization, USA for Ukraine, and about her background as a Ukrainian, how she's now turning that background in her upbringing and culture into something that's really a positive in helping to bring aid over to Ukrainians suffering in the Russian war that began physically on Ukraine in 2022, going on 4 years. But, you know, you can't do everything alone in life. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's hosting a talk show or running a charity like this. Olga, how have you partnered with other organizations, other people to make this happen?
It's been just really an incredible experience. We've worked with the town of Greenwich. We've worked with different organizations. I mentioned the Global Empowerment Mission before and Be Strong and Ukraine Aid International and Jiva Nadia and Razum and different other companies that have just been able to help us and donate. The Delamar Hotel in Greenwich, Jersey Mike's Subs have been really, really helpful and just what a great and very delicious place, actually. So if you haven't been there, I highly recommend you go and you buy a sub. Jersey Mike's Subs in Old Greenwich. Pepsi, we've worked with law firms, Berkowitz Hannah, and it's the list goes on also from just how many people have donated that really helped further our efforts. And it is because of our partners and our donors that we're able to do what we've done in the past. So I'm so thankful truly for everybody who has been able to come together and help the cause.
Any final thoughts, Olga, as we wrap up on Spotlight Connecticut?
Final thoughts. I want to touch base a little bit of what's going on now and just really emphasize to all of the listeners and all the people out there that Ukraine is such a beautiful place and the people really are so fantastic and they are a world neighbor to us. And I really think that it would be dangerous for us not to continue to help the Ukrainian people and for us to allow for this madman and murderer, Putin, to come in and take away any sort of land or take away anything from the Ukrainian people. They've been fighting for their independence since 1990, and it's well-deserved. And they look to America and Americans as an example of how democracy should be and how they should run their government. And they're striving to be able to achieve that. And the people there are so smart and they deserve to have an opportunity to be able to be exactly who they want to be and how they foresee themselves in the future. I think that all politics aside, I think when we look at Ukraine and we look at the humanitarian effort that is happening in Ukraine and is being given by other individuals or organizations like USA for Ukraine, I think you see that these people want to make the world a better place. And you see how much help they're going to be for the rest of the world. And they're basically preventing from the Russians coming any further into Europe. And although Putin said that he won't do that, I'm not really in a position where I trust anything that he says. And so I really hope that people continue to speak out loud for Ukraine and stand up for Ukraine and help And one way to do that is, of course, to go to usaforukr.com and or reach out to us and work with us. But to really just continue to build awareness for Ukraine and to stand with the people and with that country there.
Olga, it's been a pleasure having you on Spotlight Connecticut. We'll have to do an update at some time. One last time, remind people how they can find you online.
Thank you so much, Morgan. Go to www.usaforukr.com. That's usaforukr.com. UKR is an abbreviation for Ukraine. So usaforukr.com.
All right, Olga, thank you very much.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080.